Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. We have an awesome episode for you today, but we just want to remind you before the episode starts that if you're listening to this episode on Spotify, please leave your comments in the Q&A section under this episode. If you're listening on Apple, Google, or anywhere in between, please tweet Gary at Gary V. Make sure you join the Discord to stay up to date on all things V Friends, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
The biggest thing that I did not enjoy in the last year in NFTland was actually not the greed and the fraud, which are atrociously not interesting things. The biggest thing that upset me that I did not enjoy in NFTland the last year was watching some people gain 10,000 followers on Twitter and think they were somebody now and stop treating people nicely. This concept of humility is something that everybody here needs to dig a little bit deeper on because it's incredibly powerful. I would argue, and I have plenty of bravado, you know, I'm aware that a lot of people here have consumed some of my content. None of it is delivered passively. I've got plenty of passion and conviction. I'm competitive. I've got that vibe. But let there be no confusion. Mary, let there be no confusion. The singular human trait that I want the DNA draw on that leads to my happiness is humility. I'm so grateful that I don't think I'm special because it manifests and shows up every hour on the hour. I'm aware that I'm a good entrepreneur. I'm aware that I'm a good communicator. But what I'm most grateful for is that I don't get high on my own supply, that I don't think I'm special. Like, you know, I'm proud, I have pride, but I don't think I'm better than anybody. Why? Because these are the random skills that I have. Other people sing better, other people run better, other people read better. Like, there's a million skills in the world. And so I would tell you the reason I had the humility and still have the humility to reply to the drillions of DMs and the texts and the emails or be cordial in every interaction that I've ever had with a fellow human being is because I am humble. You can't put on that mask. You either are or you aren't. And I will tell you that humility leads to more happiness than almost anything, and it's worth exploring for everybody here, depending on where you are on your journey with humility.
Amen. Amen. I'm getting up for that too. So we find ourselves here in Miami during Art Basel, and you use the word NFT in your last answer. And I'd be remiss if I didn't call out my good friend Keith Grossman from Time, formerly from Time, now from Old Day, who helped me on an NFT collaboration with MasterCard and Salesforce, where we empowered 54 local artists in Miami, representing the 54 square miles of our city.
That's cool.
So that each of them can create an NFT that can be sold for charity and to support them. In the context of everything that's happened, it is crypto winter, you know, there's no winter in Miami, but in this crypto, whatever you want to call it.
Winter.
Yeah. Where are you on NFTs? What should we be thinking about it? What's your perspective? You are someone who's been a huge advocate in the space. Give us your 2 cents.
I mean, I think the people that have been following along at home know where I stand because it's the same place I stood a year ago when shit was hot as fuck. I thought 98% were going to zero because I thought greed was the thing that was playing out. I think the consumer blockchain is one of the biggest technologies that's come along since the internet. I think we're remarkably early in the journey. Unfortunately, money gets people to do a lot of crazy shit, and we've seen a lot of crazy shit. I'm thrilled that we're in a correction because now we can start truly building, because now the confusion and the hysteria and the short-term greed get recalibrated. I know a lot of people here that have been part of this journey. I referenced 1997 to 2000 internet 1,000 times last year, because it's exactly what's happened. So for me, what do I think? I think this is what was gonna happen. I'm chilling, right? Like, I invested and bought art and collectibles that I wanted because I didn't want to sell them 6 months later. So I don't have a lot of feelings that they're down 85 to 90%. I'm holding them for 10 to 50 years. So that doesn't mean anything. VFriends is completely in my control.
I'm navigating it. I've always said that it was an intellectual property play, like a Pokemon or a, you know, Sesame Street. That's gonna take me 50 years to build. So I'm not overanalyzing myself 15 months into the process. And so I'm personally enjoying it because I think it's healthy that we're out of the hysteria of the gold rush. And I think the real building can happen now. I'm upset that people didn't heed the call and got hurt financially. Who wants that? I want nothing but fucking love, happiness, winning for every person I'm looking at and every person that will ever listen to this. But a lot of people who are upset need to be accountable. A lot of people bought a lot of shit to make a quick buck that they didn't fully understand. And my hope is that something doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. My hope is that a lot of people learn from this and it will guide them in their real estate investments, their NFT investments, their Wall Street investments, their business investments for the next 50 years. I think a lot of kids, because there was a lot of kids in it, plenty of 40, 50, 60-year-olds in it, but I think for a lot of kids under 30, this is a huge blessing. You know, when you have $5,000 and you lose it all, it's devastating. It's fucking devastating. However, everything that they learned in that $5,000 loss is gonna save them hundreds of thousands of dollars for the next 60 years. So I'm trying to look at the positive because I think there's a lot of positives. I have no interest in convincing, like my friends are like, you gotta convince this guy about NFTs. I'm like, fuck that guy. I'm not interested in convincing anybody. I didn't convince anybody about websites in 96 when everybody told me it was stupid. I convinced actually nobody about social media in 2006 when everybody told me it was stupid. I'm not interested in convincing people that are in the business of being cynical and are living in no culture. I'm in the business of conviction. I'll execute and we'll all have a conversation in 2040 and maybe they're right, maybe I'm right, but I have no interest in convincing my friends who think this is a fad. They were the same people that thought social media and the internet was a fad. I'm just gonna do my fucking thing.
So let's talk, get up. Let's talk for a minute about the city we find ourselves in, the city I represent, the city that I love, Miami. And I'm not gonna hyper-focus on the Miami Dolphins having a better record than the Jets. Okay, we're not gonna talk about that. Well, go ahead, bro.
We did play each other this year.
It's true, that could happen.
I'm just stupid. Like, the Jets won 40-17 or something like that. Well, so, we'll see you January 8th. We're coming through. We'll see you January
8th. I kind of walked into that one. But we're here in Basel, which is a special time of the year in Miami. And I think, talking about Miami, this is an evolutionary moment for us. And I'll tell you, in the last 2 years, there's been a metamorphosis that tracks Basel. Basel started, you know, sort of arguably this week, at the beginning of the week. I have been to many events, and I have failed to see one piece of non-digital art. You understand what I'm saying? I have been to several events here in Miami, in our Basel. I have not been to one event, today included, right, where I have seen a piece of physical art other than digital art. I think it's reminiscent of what's happening in the world. I think it's reminiscent of what's happening in Miami. We're number one in the nation in tech job growth. We're number one in tech job migration. We're number one in wage growth. All the things that are happening, all these incredible KPIs. I know you want to announce something about Miami, but give me your Miami perspective first, and then please enlighten us on what you're thinking about Miami.
One thing about something I promised myself a long time ago that's interesting is I've always said that I want to answer things the way I want to answer them and like die on my own sword. So everything I'm about to say comes from one perspective. I am the man. I'm a New Yorker. And I'm a Jersey boy. So what do I think about Miami? I think it's a great place to visit. I think it's wonderful weather. I think it is profound what has happened here, not only in the last several years because of COVID. The foundation was put down long before that.
True.
You represent that to me because of how hard we were going through COVID. There's been a lot of great, you know, entrepreneurial growth here from a food and entertainment. It's been happening for 20 years quietly.
True.
If you're really paying attention. And then, like many things in business, there's an accelerator. Look at QR codes. I think of Miami like QR codes. QR codes were a good technology. They were used, but COVID taught everybody how to use QR codes. And now your grandma's like, yo, I got this, right? I think COVID accelerated for a lot of people, a lot of the depth that's going on in Miami, and it's been fun to watch. I want anything and everything to flourish. This city has been flourishing. I think it's an interesting time, because I think a lot of people who've lived here during COVID and now have lived here this year, there's a lot of interesting conversations of them deciding do they double down and triple down and live here long term, or are they contemplating going to where they just were or a different place. I think 2023, 2024 is actually a very important time to this great city, which is actually ironic. You know, look, we're really not ready to drop this alpha, but since we're on stage together, VaynerX is going to open an office in Miami.
Whoa. I'm sorry. You're kind of like, that was a little too fast.
Right.
It wasn't loud enough and it wasn't slow enough.
That's because nobody on my team from the comms team or the
prepared for this
knows I'm doing this right now. So I'm trying to slide this through and just kind of move on. But yes, like we're going to open an office here. And I think it's representative of a very simple thing. Besides the beautiful location and the scenery and the weather, it's all about human talent and diverse human talent. And not just diverse by skin and gender and race and age, but by thinking. There's so much creativity. There's so much there's a lot of analytical thinking down here that isn't talked about.
Yes.
There's just a lot of entrepreneurial talent here. It just makes a ton of sense. We also have a very substantial presence in Mexico City and are committing very aggressive to LATAM and South America in the next decade, and having a headquarters in, you know, having a real presence in Miami, I think will be strategic for that. So there's a lot of reasons. There's people we believe in, like yourself here, and so we're excited about it. And so, you know, for me, it's an excuse to be down here more often, which is wonderful. My parents spend meaningful time here now, which is wonderful. They love it, and so I'm excited about the future.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you for believing in us. Great answer. Love breaking news. Breaking news here at Capacito Tech Talk, Chris. We talked about humility. By the way, I'm going to use the QR code analogy if that's okay. That's a good one. We talked about humility, but there's another notion that I think you hyper-focus on, which particularly resonates with me, which is kindness. And I think part of this inflection point in Miami was we dare to be different. While a lot of cities were pushing out innovators, entrepreneurs, and creators, and still are in many ways.
Yep.
I answered a tweet almost 2 years to the day, December 4th, 2020, that said, hey, what if we move Silicon Valley to Miami with how can I help?
Yeah.
Right? And your kindness initiative is about treating people with dignity, with respect. And I'd love for you to talk a little bit about why that's important to you. Why have you spent so much time and energy and sort of capital focusing on this initiative?
I mean, is anybody else tired of the concept of humans being unkind to each other? Like, enough. But, like, why am I spending a lot of time on it? Because I'm a naturally born good communicator, which means I know I can get something done. I want to leave a little blip on the world stage before I go. I do that through my words. It is incredibly clear to me that joy, happiness, kindness, eliminating anxiety, everything that we're seeing in the world today that is challenging is completely predicated on insecurity and unhappiness from within. The way we solve that is by something that is very clear to me, Mayor. I believe that negativity is better at marketing than positivity. I believe, and I know a lot of people in this room, I believe that the positive people on earth are content and playing insular with their family. I believe the negative people on earth are not content and are screaming out of their fucking mouths at the highest levels and are sucking people in. I believe that the people in this room who are happy, who are joyous, who have love in their soul, have a responsibility to be louder. And so I am not going to do that by telling you you should do it. I'm going to live it first and then tell you what I've learned from it. And so what I can tell you is, I want to be the best marketer in the world, period, comma, which I don't think is grammatically correct. I really want to explain to people that if you're happy, consider sharing that a little bit more. If you wake up and you have gratitude in your heart, which is what I have, people here follow me, you see what happens. I wake up and I'm giving you a fucking heart. Like I'm saying, like I'm happy. I'm happy because I don't think people understand what's going on here. Like I don't think anybody in this room, including myself, so I put me in this category, actually understands how blessed we are. There are 8 million people on Earth. There are 750 million people. 750 million people on this great Earth that do not have access to clean water right this second. Everybody here, everybody that I am looking at right now, whatever you're worried about, is like number 8,000 for about 6 billion other people around the world. We're fucking blessed, we're lucky, and we have it completely mixed the fuck up. Everything, and I'll tell you why I'm motivated. If like one person here who hasn't listened to me before, or somebody who has a bunch, but this was the sentence that clicked, if they leave here and say, you know what? I'm fucking worried about making more money, or I don't have a fucking blue check mark, or my fucking thing's not working. But meanwhile, every single person I love is healthy. I'm healthy. Tomorrow I have a chance. You know why I'm always happy, Mayor? Because tomorrow I have a chance to make the thing that bothered me better. I just want the fucking at-bats. I just want the at-bats. You know, people do not have the at-bats. And even for the people,
gender, race, income level, and even comparison to others in America, they don't have the same at-bat.
A white male or somebody with money, it's still so much better than billions of other people on Earth, which doesn't allow me to look at it from a dwelling standpoint. And so I just want people to pick practical optimism versus default cynicism. And so I will market that shit until the day I fucking die.
I just want to give another shout out to my Venture Miami team, my Turkish data guys, and the Turkish data guy, put your hand up. There we go. All right. I want to transition from that to, I believe in this concept of spiritual gas tank.
Spiritual?
Gas tank.
Gas tank.
So for me, I think to do what I do, I need to try to have as close to a full spiritual gas tank as possible. That's what helps me, motivates me.
I love it.
And what propels me. So my question to you is, what is your A, inspiration, and B, where do you get the energy to create at the level you create? Because I see these high-level performers, and you never stop ideating. You have conferences, you have, you know, NFT drops, and you have all this stuff layer after layer after layer after layer after layer. How do you get that focus and energy and multitasking ability? What's your inspiration?
My inspiration is my parents, and it's just very clear to me at this point in my life that that's true. They were born in the Soviet Union. My mother is such an all-time mother. I know I've talked a lot about this for people that follow. I'm a really good fucking communicator. I would never be able to communicate to you how good she is, how special and all-time, and like, just might be the best mom of all time. And like, I don't say that from like, I say that like separating my feelings about her, of how she navigated the way she raised all 3 kids differently, not one thesis, really focusing forever. So I'm very driven by that. My mom lost her mom at 5 in the Soviet Union. Her dad spent 10 years in jail for being Jewish because anti-Semitism in the Soviet Union in the 50s, 60s, and 70s was some outer space shit. My dad lost his dad at 15. We came to America when they were 25, 24, I was 3. We lived in a studio apartment with 7 fucking family members in Queens. We didn't fuck, we grinded. And you know, and most of all, what I wish on all of you and all your future family members, I learned in those first 10 years in America that money has no variable on happiness. We were fucking poor and happy as fuck. It is foundational to why I'm happy. I know that money is a non-variable in happiness. And so they are my inspiration, and then that created my energy. The reason I'm 24/7, 365 is because the greatest narcotic in the world is gratitude. If you are actually, not you say it because it's fucking trendy, because if you are actually running on actual gratitude, the energy's on the charts. You're just so fucking thankful. You just know it's gonna end one day. You're gonna die someday. So you're just trying to squeeze the fuck out of every second because it's so fucking awesome. And so I'm just, my energy, my innovation, and I'll tell you one more thing there. This is a big one for everyone, and I do spend a lot of time on this.
Listen up, guys, that's a cue. This is a big one.
A lot of it comes from lack of fear, and we started this talk with it. I've got to figure out in these next 50 years how to get people to stop valuing other people's opinions. I've got to figure it out. Almost everything that's not working for everyone I'm looking at right now is 100% predicated on them valuing other people's opinions. Strangers, their mom, their brother, someone they look up to, a boss.
It's a big issue of politics, too.
It's a major problem. They're just valuing other people's opinions so much that it's dictating their behavior so much, and it's over before they started. The reason I'm always innovating is because I'm not scared to lose in front of all of you. I am not scared to lose in front of all of you. And I want that for every other person because that gets real happy real fast.
So I'm gonna end with this, and this is, yeah, this is not intended in any way, shape, or form to be political in discussion, but this is something that you just said in your last answer, and sort of taking my cues from you and listening to what you're saying. And you said something that really caught my attention, which is that your parents are from the former Soviet Union.
Yes.
My parents are from Cuba.
Yes.
I think that's a fundamental thing that we have in common.
Yes.
And that fundamentally shapes who we are insofar as we believe in the American story.
Sure.
We believe that if you work hard in this country, you can succeed.
Yes.
And we believe that when you're defining happiness not as a function of money, which is correct, and the gratitude, which I think is a beautiful concept aside from humility and kindness, gratitude, which is being grateful for what you have, looking at the glass half full.
100%.
I think that is fundamentally shaped in part by the fact that these socialist, communist, whatever you want to call it, governments,
yes,
they rob you of your tomorrows, of your at-bats.
Yep.
And that is something that I just have to say because I felt like there's a commonality point there.
So it's built in a slightly different direction.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm talking a little politics. I'm obsessed with the concept of the problem. I think America has gotten way too red and way too blue. So I'll give you a little interesting insight for all the non-Cuban Russians in the room. Watching the Russian community over the last decade overcorrect in their fear of communism and socialism and project ludicrous assumptions on certain policies because they're so scared of where they came from was also an interesting thing about fear. I think a lot of people have to find their balance. We are incredibly in an intriguing time in our country's history because people are going to extremes and are just making assumptions. And so I think thoughtfulness on the middle, balance, purple, is something I'm very passionate about because I'll give you an example. When I think about politics, I'm an entrepreneur. I believe in merit, I love the game, I love all that. But for me, the inability to be civil to another human being is an immediate eliminator. And let there be no confusion, just so I think there's no confusion. Both Democrats and Republican politicians, when I go to the voting box in New York, have eliminated themselves from me because they have not had the ability to be a civil human being. And so for me, that matters more to me than what taxes I'm gonna pay, or this, that, and the other thing. And so I think if we cannot champion being civil to each other again, then all the other shit is fucking horseshit.
Well, listen. I'm happy to tell you that in my 13 years of public service, one of the things that I'm most proud of was that I changed our oath of office and created a civility pledge as part of our oath.
That.
Something that
great job.
I hope other elected officials, U.S. Congress, everybody does that, because I think we need a big dose of civility and respect and understanding.
My friends, we shouldn't agree on everything. Like, I'll take it out of context. In business, when people are like, Gary, your friend just shit on you for NFTs. He doesn't believe in it. I'm like, he doesn't have to believe in it. Like, this concept that we've become so egotistical that we need everybody to see the world exactly how you see it, the beauty is that people see shit different. We need much more compassion, not just empathy, compassion to understand that everybody's life's journeys brought them to their views. And I like when people, like, for example, some of you fuckers are dolphin fans. Like, that bearded dude, you know, he's a dolphin fan. Yes. I see that as a critically massive mistake. And that's okay. And so, but
I love you, man.
What we do in sports, which is silly and fun, we've now taken to real life.
Yeah.
We gotta, in real life, we need to retweak it. When people hear today, you pitch your business idea, and somebody says, I don't like it, they're not being mean. They're not a piece of shit. They don't like the idea. Good. Like, I don't remember anybody liking any of the shit that most worked out for me. Like, you need to be within yourself and deploy kindness to others. Nobody who's judging you is a reflection on you. You need to fall in love with yourself first. Everything else figures itself out.
Thanks so much for listening or watching to that episode of the Gary V Audio Experience. We really hope you enjoy it, and we hope to see you next time.